Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. We're going to take some time here, get into the Word. And I want to talk to you tonight, and you'll understand more about what we're talking about as we get going. But I'm going to talk about the art of standing. The art of standing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read some verses there, and then we'll may look at some other things also, some other verses. If you got it, say, I got it. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, the Bible, 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We'll stop reading there because I wanted to just get the scriptures where it talked about having done everything to stand, stand therefore. Amen. You know, sometimes you just got to stand. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. All right. Now, so you understand, we're going to just talk about, because this isn't like a real popular thing to talk about, standing. You know, we like to talk about receiving. But you know what? The truth of the matter is you're going to do more standing and waiting than you are receiving. I said you're going to do more standing and waiting than you are receiving. So you better learn to stand and stand right. Wait right. There's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. Now I know, it may be all over the world this way, but I know us Americans don't like to wait. We don't like to wait on anything. We don't like to wait on our food or anything. You know what I'm saying? I was in a restaurant just a few days ago and had to wait about an hour on my food. And that's just like way too long. Amen? So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, man, time they got there, I'm not hungry any longer. I've already drank enough, drinks and ate enough cheese sticks and I'm ready to go. Praise God. You know, well, here's the thing. You know, we are geared to fast pace. We're geared to fast pace. But God's not geared that way. He doesn't always cook microwave meals. And life doesn't work that way. Amen? Maybe I had to clear some things up. It's not like God withholds from us. That's not what I'm saying. But we're in a domain down here that's a domain of darkness. And so sometimes we have to fight the good fight of faith. And so we have to persevere. We have to do like Paul just said to the Ephesians, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Just keep standing. Because if you don't learn to do this, there's going to be a lot of things you're not going to get in life that God has for you. But you have to learn to stand, and you have to learn to stand the right way. Amen? There's a right way and a wrong way. Amen? And the Bible has a whole lot to say about standing, about waiting, and everything. You know, so some things in life just don't come just real fast. I mean, think about this. How many brain surgeons would we have if you could get your degree in one day? And how many want to go to that person that got a one-day brain surgeon degree? What about a commercial? Are y'all going to help me tonight or am I alone tonight? What about a commercial, a pilot? How many would you like to get on a plane and you find out the pilot, just went through a one-day class the day before? I'm getting off because that's just not enough. It takes a little bit more time at that to get proficient. Amen? It takes a lot of hours to do that. So we see that there's a lot of things, that in life that we can understand, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to persevere if you're going to get that. Right? I mean, you're going to have to persevere. You know, when you're younger, at time just seems like it's a lot, like 4 years when you're young seems like a long time. But as you get older, it's like, that's nothing. Man, I've got stuff on my to-do list that's older than that. How many got a to-do list, got more stuff to do than that? I mean, it's older than 4 years old. How many? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. So, we'll see. And to you, it's like, It's nothing. You know, some of you got French fries under your car seat that are over 4 years old. So you know what I'm saying. So I mean, but as you grow spiritually, you begin to learn you got to stand. I mean, Caleb and Joshua stood for 45 years to get into the promised land. Yeah. Amen. And I'm not telling you it's going to take 45 years for you to receive from God. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying we have to have. Brother Hagin used to say it this way. I like this. He said, if you're willing to stand forever, you probably won't be there very long. But you have to have the mindset that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to receive the promise of God. Yeah. Amen. And you know, Paul said it this way in Hebrews, when he was talking to the Hebrews, he said that let us run the race with endurance, patience, sticking with it. Well, what does that tell you about this race? And he goes on to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So what's that tell us about this race if you run it with endurance? What's that tell you about that? If somebody says we're going to have an endurance race, what's that tell you? It tells you it's not a 100-yard dash. You don't tell someone running a 100-yard dash, pace yourself. It's all out, right? But yet if you're running a marathon, guess what? You better pace yourself. Because if you start out too fast, you're not going to finish. Right? So that's what Paul's saying. And he said, looking unto Jesus. And then he said, now listen, seeing we have this great cloud of witnesses. Now, what was he talking about? Well, we don't have to. I'm not going to go back and look at that scripture. But let me just say it to you like this. If Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith. And it lists all these people that accomplished things by faith. And Paul said, since we have this great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. So what is he saying? He's saying, look, all these giants of faith, you look in the Hebrews 11, you got Moses. I mean, he's a pretty big giant, right? You got Daniel, David, you got Enoch, you got Noah, Abraham. I mean, on and on in Hebrews 11 about these giants of faith. And then Paul lets us know they didn't get there overnight. Abraham waited 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled. That's a long time. And I'm not suggesting you're going to have to wait 25 years. Yeah, on some things, you might have to. I'm not talking about healing and things, but some things God's doing in your life, it may take some years to work it all out. I always remember, this was back in, I think, in the 1990s, Dr. Summerall, Lester Summerall, was in Jerusalem, and he was in a hotel room, and the Lord, and he was in his 70s at the time, and the Lord said, I want you to feed starving Christians in the world. Starving Christians. And some of you remember, if you're old enough, he had an end-time Joseph program, Feed the Hungry. We were in a different country where they'd had a hurricane, and the pastor was showing us through rooms in his church, and there was some of the food from Dr. Summerall's ministry. It was great to see that. I mean, I knew Dr. Summerall was doing it, but it was great to be on foreign land and actually see, there it is. It came from South Bend, Indiana. All right? So Dr. Summerall, you know, he had this end-time Feed the Hungry program, Joseph program, he called it. And but what was interesting is, like, he was in his 70s, and he was in Jerusalem, and the Lord said, I want you to feed starving Christians throughout the world. And so Dr. Summerall said, well, why would you want me to do it? I'm in my 70s. Go get one of these younger guys. And the Lord spoke back to him and said, because I finally got you where I can trust you. So it takes some time for God to work some things in our life. I mean, Moses, Moses was like 80 years old before God called him to send him to be a deliverer. Joshua, Caleb was 85 before he took the promised land. And some of you all are complaining about how old you are. And maybe we ought to replace Brother Kenny. And he's not even 80 yet. Somebody said close. Let me understand that, see, I'm not saying that everything that God does in our life, it takes a long time, but I'm just simply saying there are some things that we have to understand, that we got to have some perseverance about it, because it is actually, there's actually a warfare going against us trying to keep us from possessing the blessings of God. We got to stick with it. And that's why Paul said, in the evil day, having done all to stand therefore. You got to just keep standing. Because he said, having done all. So if you've done your homework, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're believing God, amen, then you're supposed to stand and stay standing, amen? So we have to understand that. And God told Joshua, you know, when he's getting ready to go into the promised land, he said, be not dismayed. You know, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Well, you know, I like words. You know, I live by words. You live by words. I like to find out what words were. So one day I was just wonder what dismayed means, you know? What does it actually mean? And I found out it means to be beat down by circumstances, violence or confusion. So sometimes circumstances try to beat you down, and God said, don't allow yourself to be beat down by circumstances, violence or confusion. You just keep going, son. Amen. Having done all to stand therefore. I don't know about you, but you know, standing in the natural is not all that easy. Sometimes you got to stand for a long time. Amen. You know, it sound, you know, people say, well, you say, man, it sound like a good job, but all I got to do is just stand there. That's a tough job. That's a tough job. You see these guys, you know, like over in Buckingham Palace, they're just standing there straight, you know, all day long. I don't know how you do it. You know, standing's tough. I had a job when I first got out of high school, and I stood for 9 hours a day, you know. And I'm telling you, it was rough just doing that. I mean, you know, I moved around some, but you're on your feet 9 hours a day. So standing is tough, but you got the strength to do it. And I'm going to show you that in just a little bit. All right. Now go to Mark chapter 4. Come on. Mark chapter 4. Let's go there. The art of standing. We have to learn to stand because God's got some things for us, but it takes some standing to get there. Amen. You know, someone was talking about one of the blessings that they received from the Lord, and it was a huge blessing, you know, and I mean, worth thousands of dollars that they, it was like something that they actually needed, you know, it was something that a provision, and they stood for it for 5 years, 5 years. That seems like a long time. And someone said, you had to stand for that for 5 years. They said, yeah, but it's better than paying for it for 30. Yeah. Right? And I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense. Amen. Mark chapter 4, go there. You got it? This is Jesus talking about the sower sowing the word. He said, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. So they hear the word, they're glad about it. But notice this, they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, everybody say, for the word's sake. Immediately they're offended or stumbled. So persecution, affliction doesn't, you know, a lot of people say, well, God sends it. But no, he's not sending it. Why would he send it to get the word out of you that he wants sowed into your life? But what I want you to see is this. Here's what I want you to see. It says, when they heard the word, they immediately received it with gladness. In other words, they started out good. But they had no... Notice in your Bible, no root in themselves. What does that mean? They had no staying power. They had no root in themselves. And so, see, the next verse tells you, and so endured but for a time. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Jesus told us this. He said there's going to be people that start good, but they don't finish. Starting good's great, but you got to finish. Anybody ever started an exercise diet program? Nobody? Anybody ever finish one? I just want to talk. You finished it? Great. There's one. Anybody else finish one? Finish it? Still on it. All right. I like that honest answer. A guy saw me. I had a minister I hadn't seen in years. It probably hadn't seen him in about 7 to 9 years. But, you know, and I was at this church. And I walked out into the lobby area and just about ran into him. Hadn't seen him in a long time. Man, we just took off right where we left off. Like it was just yesterday we talked. Man, we were just talking. He looks at me. He goes, well, man, you look good. He said, you look good. I said, well, I've been losing weight for 35 years. I should. So. Anybody ever start an exercise program? Oh, yeah. I've told you my story. You know, years ago, I was just 20s. In the 20s, Phyllis and I was just young then. We're still young now, but we were younger then. And I listened to Paul Harvey on the radio, you know, and he talked about, you know, the Swin Aerodynes. That was what he advertised, you know, what he sold. He was a big Swin Aerodyne guy, you know. And he would talk about how 20 minutes a day would change your life, you know. And so, I mean, I'm talking about 20, I was 26, 27 years old, probably right in there, maybe 28. So we went and bought one. We went and bought one, brought it home, put it next to the bed, you know, got on that thing. And it was a good thing you put it next to the bed, because that's where I needed to go after 5 minutes. I just fell over the bed, huffing and puffing. And, you know, we were so excited about it. Maybe I was more excited than she was about it. You know, I'll talk about me. I was so excited to get that thing. I was so excited about, man, I'm going to get in good shape here. And I thought I was in bad shape, you know, and I weighed 150-some pounds. But, you know, now I guess I'm in, excuse me, English, batter shape. But anyway, because, you know, now I weigh, none of your business. Anyway, but I'll just tell you this. I started out just like Jesus said. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. I started out with joy. I had joy. I started out with joy. But guess what? It soon subsided. And when it subsides, well, then you're done. You don't finish. What do you get for not finishing? You don't get anything. See, I've ran some races before, a few, and you get a medal when you finish. You know, it's like you put all that time in, months in training, and you get a little round piece of tin. But it's, you know, you do it for more than that, but you get a medal. But if you don't finish, you don't get anything. You got to get across the finish line. See, that's what Paul said. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Amen. You got to finish, everybody. Amen. See, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Is that not right? We don't just inherit them just through faith, but through faith and patience, sticking with it. So we got to stand. We got to stand. And so if you don't learn to stand, well, you're never going to finish anything. Man, I don't know. You know, listen, I've been doing this a long time. And I don't know how many people, I pastored. If you count all the years I've pastored, you know, I've been in the ministry, like I said, 39 years, but 29 of that was shepherding people. And so you see a lot of people start faith projects, but a lot of people never finish their faith projects. And they get excited, you know. But what they don't know is between, you know, I've prayed yes and amen and I have it, there's some endurance that has to take place. There's some standing that has to take place. And it's not always fun. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't know how your body is. But if I'm needing healing, my body does not want me to confess God's word. It doesn't want that. It wants sympathy. Am I the only one? And it's okay for people to have compassion on you, but that's what your body doesn't want to say what the word says. You don't want to stick with it. You got to stay with it. Yeah. You say, well, I you know, it's like Brother Cap said one time he was preaching on confession, and a lady said to him, well, I said that 3 times and nothing happened. He said, well, aren't you a trooper? I mean, no, we're not talking about, and I think this is where people miss it. This is a lifestyle.
That's right.
I live this way. Hallelujah. I live this way. You say, does it work? Well, yes, it does work. I used to get sick all the time until I found this out. You still have I still have battles. I'm not going to lie to you, but I don't have what I used to have. I haven't had the flu in years. Man, it's been years. 20 years or more, maybe 30 years, you know, or anything like that. And so we still have battles, but I'm just saying the word works when you put it to work, but you just got to stay with it. And stay with it. And stay with it. And stand. Now, I know this is an exciting message tonight, but at least act like you're excited. Fake it till you make it.
That's right.
Yeah, I understand. You know, patience, endurance, you know, all these kind of things. It's like, oh, man, Pastor, talk about receiving. Well, this is receiving. Because if you don't learn to do this, then you're never going to make it to the end. Jesus said, many start out, they're excited when they hear the word. They immediately receive a joy, but they have no root in themselves, and so only endure just for a little while, and afterward, because affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. What does that mean? The devil sends things to try to get us to stop. He makes the road bumpy so that, you know, we'll stop. Amen. Can't we just rebuke the devil and he'll stop all that? Well, no, you're going to have to deal with him because Jesus said you would. Right? You mean, we take authority over him, but that doesn't stop all the attacks. It just caused you to be victorious in the middle of all the attacks. Amen? Amen. So through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Through faith and patience. Amen. Not just faith, but patience. I wish it was just like, I don't know about you, but I just wish you just prayed, said amen, and there it was. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But you know what? I don't know. Maybe we wouldn't be as strong spiritually if it happened that way. Maybe we wouldn't develop some of the character that we've developed over the years. Maybe we wouldn't have. You got to learn to fight. Amen? And that's what the Bible said. Consider what Paul said. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for consider him. I mean, he persevered. Amen. He persevered through it all, right? Amen. All right. Now, let's go. I want to just look at a couple more scriptures. Are you good with me now, Isaiah? Let's go there, Isaiah chapter 40, because I want to show you something about standing that'll help you. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah the 40th chapter. Glory to God. You say, well, I don't know, Pastor. I'm just not into this standing stuff. Well, you got to get into it if you're going to have the blessing, amen, the promise. You got to learn to stand. You got to learn to stand. Amen. Now, listen now. You know, I'm not a novice to this any longer. You know, maybe 30 years ago, I was still kind of a novice at it, but, you know, I'm not any longer. I've been doing this a long time. And you just learn, you know, you got to have some fortitude. You got to have some stick with it, man. You got to stay with it. Amen. There's always going to be, the devil's always going to throw persecution, affliction, things your way to try to stop you. But you got to just fight through that. Remember what Jesus said? And I remember when I was an old Pentecost, when I was around them, there's, you know, in Mark chapter 4, we read, Jesus talked about there's 130, 60, and 100-fold. I mean, remember him saying that. A harvest, right? Off the word. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Harvest now. And old Pentecost, you say, well, God determines whether you're 30, whether you're 60, or whether you're 100-fold Christian. But you know what I found out? God does not determine whether you're a 30-fold, a 60-fold, or a 100-fold Christian. Jesus talked about things that come against the word, affliction and persecution, cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things, lust for other things. He talked about this. What I learned is this. Here's what I learned. Whatever percentage I'm willing to stand against that, that's what percentage of victory I'm going to have in my life. If I just stand against that stuff 30%, I'm a 30% Christian. If I stand against it 60, I'm a 60% Christian. But if I stand against it 100%, I'm a 100% believer. I realize God didn't have anything to do with me being 30, 60, or 100. I did. It was up to me about how much I'm willing to fight off to possess the blessing. Amen. You know, I appreciate people that just having done all to stand, they just stand there for. Now, I want you to go to Isaiah 40 if you haven't gone there already. Go there, Isaiah chapter 40, and I want to look at one more scripture, and we'll be done tonight. But I want to go here, Isaiah 40, because I want to show you something that God will provide for you while you're standing. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary, there's no searching of his understanding." How many of you got to know it? Right. You got to hear it. It's not just, you know, I learned it. It's just not good enough just because I heard somebody say it. I got to find out what God said himself myself. Yeah. Right? God will let you do that for a while when you're a baby Christian, run off secondhand information. You know, like, well, I heard Brother So-and-so on TV, and he said if I'd trust God and believe God, that God would come through. Well, God will honor that because you're a baby. And, you know, he'll let you stand on other people's faith. But once you get a little bit older, he wants you to get in his book and find out for yourself. Yeah. Amen. And build the promises of God inside of you. Right. See, I've gone to pray for people that were sick and take them a book on healing and they never read it. Right. Now, I don't know how to help you. Right. How can I help you? Right. If you got trouble with finances and I give you a book about finances, you know, and you don't read it, how can you be helped? If you can't put the bicycle together and I give you the instruction manual and you won't read it, you're on your own. I can't do any more than that. And you have to partake of what God's made available. Come on, people. You know, because I meet this all, I deal with this where people, you know, it's like, well, I need healing, come and pray for me. Well, all right, I'm glad to do that, but we got to get some word in you. And so, you know, maybe, and I'm not, you know, I can't stand there and feed you for 6 hours. I got things to do. So maybe I give you a book on healing. I remember giving one lady a book on by Christ to heal her. She never did read it and she died. But she was a Christian, so she went to heaven. But she didn't have to die that way. She didn't have to die sick. I went in to pray for a lady one time. And see, you got to watch what you get your focus on. I'm telling you, if you don't do this, you're going to get yourself in trouble. I went to pray for a lady. She had cancer. And she was in, I would guess, probably in her 50s. I went to pray for her, went to the hospital to pray for her. And when I walked in her room, you know, she had her, you know, the tray there. And I noticed laying on the tray was a book about heaven. And I thought, I can't help this lady. This lady's going to die. I can't help her. Now, how did you know that, Pastor? Because I've been at this a long time. I realize what she's focusing on is heaven. She's not focusing on healing. Now, heaven's good, right? But, you know, when you've been told you're going to die of cancer, you better focus on healing. And she's focusing on heaven, and heaven's great. But I realized once I saw that book, I thought, you know, guess what? I'm not going to be able to help this lady. This lady's going to die. And that wasn't unbelief. I just know it. I just knew it. I just knew it. You know, I'm not speaking unbelief over, but I just know she's focusing on heaven. She ought to have a book there by Christ the Healer or How to Receive Healing or something like that. And sure enough, she did die and she went to heaven and she's not sad about going to heaven. But the point is she left kids behind and family behind. God wanted her well. Amen. So you got to know for it. You got to know. You got to feed on it. Amen. You know, if you got financial trouble, dig out the healing script or get out the financial scriptures. You need healing, dig out the healing scriptures. Whatever it is you need, there's scriptures on. Dig them out. If you'll dig them out, well, you say it doesn't work. Well, you're too late to tell me it doesn't work. It works for me. It works if you work it. You have to work it. Because I've had people tell me, well, it doesn't work for me, Pastor. Well, I haven't had people in this church tell me that. I've had people outside of, well, it doesn't work for me. Well, it does if you work it. Just because nothing's changed in a month or 2 months, well, what'd you quit for? Keep at it. Amen. Notice 29, he gives power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall. But notice this, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what? If we wait in faith, God will strengthen us. I mean, he'll make us strong. If we do this right, if we stand right, God will put strength in us. Amen. You know, David said in Psalms, he said, I patiently waited on the Lord, and he heard me, answered me, delivered me. He got me out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock to stay and put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. Have you ever felt like you're stuck? You learn to wait on God. He'll get you out of that stuck place. You know, when I was a kid, we used to play back in the strip pits, you know. That was our domain, man. We'd ride our dirt bikes back in there and play back in there. And there was... And, you know, I'm not sure now what caused it, but there were areas that it was just, it stayed wet, and it was like a dark or a gray-looking clay, like clay. Yeah. If you got off in that, you were stuck. Now, as kids, we'd do foolish things. We would try to get our motorcycles going really fast and go across that. It never worked. It never worked. And I remember one particular spot, you could not walk across it. You couldn't do it. You would literally get stuck. And so one of my friends, he decided, well, I'm going to see if I can roll across it. You got to be 12, 11, 13, 14 years old to be this dumb. But to do these things, but you do these things. And so he rolled across it, got out in the middle, and all of a sudden he started to sink. I think we had to get a rope and pull him out. Because that stuff was not, it wasn't quicksand, but it was just, you'd just get stuck in it. It was miry clay, and you'd just sink down into that. And so we had to pull him out. We had to get a rope and pull him out. And so that's what David was talking about. He said, I was in the miry clay. I was in the pit. He said, but God, I waited on God, and he got me out. What does it mean I waited on God? It means I waited in faith, trusting him. He's going to get me out. He got me out, set my feet on a rock, praise God, put a new song in my heart. I got to singing about some new things, praise God, God's doing in my life. Amen. So, you know, you can get out of that stuck place, but you got to wait in faith on God. Trust him. Stand, having done all to stand there for. What's that mean? I'm speaking the promises of God. Amen. I'm meditating on the promises of God. Now, let's go to one last scripture, 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'll close right here, 1 Kings 18. And this will be it for tonight. Did you get something tonight? All right, 1 Kings 18. Just the art of standing. You got to learn to stand. If you don't learn to do that, you can't receive everything God has for you. 1 Kings 18, let's start at verse 41. This is Elijah. And Elijah said unto Ahab, verse 41, get up, eat, drink, for there's the sound of an abundance of rain. Now, at this time, it hadn't rained in like 3.5 years. So, and Elijah's the one that, you know, prayed it wouldn't rain, and it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. And so now he talks faith. Notice this, the way he talks. Elijah said unto Ahab, get up, eat, drink, for there's the sound of an abundance of rain. Now, how many know he's saying this before he sees this? Yeah. And so he was expecting something. And Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. Now, we know what he was doing there. He was praying. Because James tells us that he was praying here. So he's praying. He's talking to God. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. Now, isn't this interesting? See, when sometimes people, when they don't see something the first time, they quit. He said, no, go back. Yeah. The man said, there's nothing. Go back. Go back. 7 times. I call that standing. I call that. Now, listen to this. I also call it this because this is true faith. True faith doesn't accept no as the answer. It just doesn't. Why? You know, because I've heard preachers say they have no scripture. I like what one preacher said. I think this is so fantastic. I've used it since I heard him say it. He said, for something to be scriptural, what does it have to have? It has to have scriptures. So if it's going to be scriptural, you got to have scriptures. Not just somebody saying it. So I've heard preachers say, well, sometimes God says no. Not to his promises, he doesn't. I said, not to his promises, he doesn't. That's totally contrary to the word of God. The Bible says all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. So don't tell me he tells me no to some of his promises because you don't have any scripture. The scripture says he says yes. He says amen to all of them. So, I hear this even on the radio, these real, you know, popular preachers say, well, God tells you no sometimes. No, he doesn't. He may be telling you no because you're asking for stuff that's not in his word. You goofy thing. Find out what he said. Quit preaching your tradition. Preach the word of God. He says yes and amen. Paul already said he did. Well, all right, amen. I'll trust God over, you know, I'll take his word over yours or anybody else's, right? So he said yes, so I don't care what somebody said. I just care what he said about it. So he said, go again 7 times. So faith doesn't take no for the answer. And it came to pass the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. I mean, that's not much. But that was enough for this prophet. He said, go and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, get yourself down, that the rain stop you not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Wow, that's some running right there. Well, I want to just say something to you. Faith, real true Bible faith, it knows how to stand. It doesn't take no for the answer. No's not the right answer. And so if I don't get it the first time, I'm back. I'm not giving up. And I don't see the cloud the second time, I'm not done. The third time, I'm not done. The fourth time, I'm not done. Are you understand what I'm saying? See, having done all to stand there for. Because faith guarantees me the answer, praise God. So I'm going to stand there. If you don't take that attitude, then the devil will outlast you. So you have to take that attitude. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. Everybody say, I'm going to stand. So you got to stand until victory comes. Amen. Now, let me give you these three things as we close out. If you're going to persevere in standing on God's Word, you're going to have to do three things. Number one, you have to decide God's Word is true and it's final authority.
Yes.
It's true, it's final authority. No matter what I see, no matter what I hear, no matter what I feel, no matter what happens to me, the Word's final. Not my emotions, not my circumstances, not what somebody else says, what God said. So you have to decide it's true, it's final authority. Number two, you have to decide to act only in faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Act only in faith. Praise God. So what does that mean? That means, man, I act like it's so. And I mean, you know, that doesn't mean I'm phony, I'm a fake, and, you know, I act like I don't have any problems or anything like that. But that means I act like the promise is so. And things are changing for me, praise God. Things are changing. Number three, you got to decide to speak only in faith. Speak only in faith. That means, what do I do? Well, that means I speak my outcome, what I'm believing for. Amen? That doesn't mean, now, you know, sometimes people get bondage and they think, well, you can't never tell anybody you're hurting, you have an issue. No, that's not what that's saying. That's simply saying, yeah, you may be hurting, you may have an issue, you may have a problem, but you speak your outcome. This is what I'm speaking is going to happen in my life. This is what's going to, yeah, I may be hurting right now. I may be in lack right now. But here's what's going to happen. See, Elijah, it was dry. He knew it was dry. He would have told you it's dry, but he said, man, there's no sound of abundance. It's getting ready to change. Something's getting ready to change here. There's some change coming, praise God. There's some change coming, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's change coming. Amen. So, you know, if you're taking medicine, hey, every time you take it in the name of Jesus and say, change is coming. Change is coming. Glory to God. You know, if you're in a financial problem, change is coming. Change is coming. Speak your desire in. You know, Charles Capps, he's in heaven now, but man, he said some powerful things when he was alive on the earth. He said, you don't call the dog if you want the cat. He said, people call for things they don't want. He said, the Lord told him one time, he said, Charles, he said, I told my people they could have what they say, and they're saying what they have. See, and you got to call for what you want. You got to call for the change. Hallelujah. According to God's Word. I mean, you got to find out what God said about it. You don't just make stuff up. But you find out what God, it's like a couple, you know, we learned some things as we were growing in faith and, you know, many years ago, it's before Phyllis and I were even married, so it's been that long ago, but a couple one time wanted me to believe that this bank had given them all of its money. You know, I thought, well, you know what? If I could do that for you, I'd do it for me first. Before I helped you, I'd help myself. There's a lot of things wrong with that. First of all, that's somebody else's money you're coveting there. Secondly, there's not a Bible promise for that. There is a promise God will meet all your needs, but he didn't say he's going to rob First National Bank to give it to you. Amen. So what do I say if I'm in lack, Pastor? I say, you know, what do I say? You know, I got, you know, Do I just go out and order a new truck? No, that's dumb. That's stupid. You say, thank God, God meets all my needs according to His riches and glory. I have more than abundance. I have more than enough, praise God. That's coming to me. I call that to me. Call it to you. You say, will it come? Yeah, it'll come. But you got to stay with it and stay with it and stay with it. You need healing? You need some other deliverance? You got to call for it. You can't just like, just talk your problem all the time. Doesn't mean you can't ask for prayer and you know, amen. If someone asks you, is your leg hurting? Your leg's hurting. You say, well, no, my leg's not hurting. You say, is your head hurting? No, my head's not hurting, but it's hurting. And they look at you and say, you look like you got a headache. Oh, no, I don't have headaches. Well, wait a minute. Do you have a headache? Yeah. Well, then you just lied to me. Yeah, you got a headache, but don't just, you know, camp there. Say, thank God for my healing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. You got to talk faith. You got to decide to talk in faith. If you're going to persevere and stand and receive the promise of God, you got to talk faith. You can't just, you know, talk about unbelief all the time. Amen. I mean, you people take communion and don't realize what a powerful thing they're doing on Sunday morning when they take communion and go out and talk defeat. We ought to talk victory. Praise God. So we ought to talk victory. Amen. That doesn't mean we're phonies. Doesn't mean we're fakes. It just means we talk victory. We're calling for things. This is what I'm calling for. It's what I'm believing for. It's what I'm calling in. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Does it work? It works for God's promises. It just works for the promises. Amen. Not what we want, but what He said. Amen. Did you get something? Yes. Let's thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Father, we thank you. We, having done all to stand, we're going to stand there for. Praise God. Having done all to stand, stand there for. Praise God and receive the promise of God, just like Paul said. Amen. Not give in, not give up, not quit, but stick with everything you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.